Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Family Mission Podcast.
Welcome.
Hello, Mark, Kim, Dan here with you today. We're
so
sitting back at the
table.
We are so thankful that you're joining in with us today. And we know that God has some good things in store for our conversation today.
Amen.
We have decided that last podcast, our last episode, we just didn't get completely finished with what we were wanting to talk about. And, you know, our hearts in these podcasts are just to put out little seeds by the help of the Holy Spirit, that you take those seeds and you put them into a pot in your life and allow them to grow. And so we have been talking, or we talked in our last episode about the Word of God. And we're going to pick that back up today. And join with us as we talk practicality and we talk scripture, because everything that we need for life and godliness, we find in this book.
Amen.
And it's there to help us.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is there to help us as well.
Yes. You know, Jesus himself, when he launched out into ministry, you read about it in Luke chapter 4, you know, he turned to a passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 61, and he read a passage of scripture, and he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears," meaning he found himself in the Word. And so it's important to read the Word, because it builds identity into you.
Oh,
it builds God's view of you, God's thoughts about you, God's attitude towards you. It builds that into you. And I know you've heard us quote E.W. Kenyon on this, one of my favorite quotes from his writings. And it's this, that the genius of Christianity is the ability of God to build himself into us through the Word, so that in our everyday life, we live just like the Master. Isn't that good?
Just like him.
I mean, God wants to build himself into us. And so the time we spend in the scripture, and that's what we talked about in our last podcast, is just the value of time in the Bible, you know, and how to practically do that as a family, how to practically do that individually. Because the beauty of it and the power of it is that God is going to begin building himself and building the correct identity into us. Right.
Well, Dan, will you read one more time? I know that we did this in our last episode, but would you go ahead and reread 2 Timothy, and then we'll go on to the other scripture that we wanted to share.
This is 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Hallelujah.
Thoroughly furnished.
Thoroughly furnished. So all scripture is important. You know, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture is important. It's going to build something into us. And what are the four things there that it does? It lists that for doctrine. That's just a kind of a King James way of saying teaching.
Yeah.
It's good for teaching.
What's another one?
For reproof.
Ooh.
For correction.
Okay.
Ooh.
Instruction in righteousness.
Amen. So those four things.
Yeah, those four things.
So for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction.
So what's the difference between reproof and correction?
That's a good question. So the difference between, I would say, the difference between reproof and correction, a reproof is, you know, you're getting challenged by what you're doing. I mean, in other words, you're getting conviction by the scripture. You're being convicted by the Holy Spirit. Maybe your own heart's convicting you. So that's the reproof. I mean, you're being shown to be in the wrong. I mean, that's just basically what it is. You're being reproved. You're being, what your behavior is, your thoughts are, whatever the Word is doing, it's showing something in you to be in the wrong. That's the reproof. But then the correction then is then to re-guide and redirect and show the correct thing. Did you pull it up?
Yeah, I pulled it up. It says, this is what at least the internet says. It says, reproof involves highlighting out someone's errors or wrongdoings, whereas correction entails encouraging someone to help change those actions or conduct.
Amen.
So conviction and repentance work together in that. So conviction, your heart is being shown something that needs to change. And repentance is saying, God, I don't want to be like this, so I'm going to do a 180 and I'm going to completely change, and this is the way I'm going to see it from here.
You know, another thing that we experience as we have a relationship with the Word is the Word is going to expose lies that we've believed. Okay.
Behaviors.
Exactly.
Patterns.
You know, even emotions, vain emotions. I mean, feelings we have that, you know, are tied to the fallen man, not to the renewed and heavenly man.
Oh, that's another good one.
But we're gonna have lies exposed. And so Scripture will then work to remove, through the reproof and correction, remove the lie, but then you have to put the truth in. So it's not just enough to remove the lie and just be reproved and corrected. You then have to, you know, have then instruction, which is the next thing. You know, then you have to put in the life, put in the truth, put in God's thoughts. You know, His Word's going to remove things out of our life, but it's so that the right thing can then be put in and into our thinking, into our behavior, into our grid, so to speak. The removal of it is important, but also the replacement of that lie is so very important. And that's, again, that's the journey we have in Scripture.
Yeah, and it's like kind of an example that just kind of came in my head is if you ever have been around an old deck, you know, the supports, if there's one support that's rotted, it needs to get out. But it is still doing something. So if you just take it out and don't replace it, you're actually worse off than you were having, you know, that. You need to replace it with something solid that will continue, because the, you know, the weak support is more a liability than, you know, having nothing at all.
That's so
That's
good.
True.
Very good example.
Well, and what kind of came up in as you were saying that to me is, you know, and these are kind of buzzwords that everybody's talking about. Well, you know, emotional healing or spiritual strongholds. And you know, sometimes we get into, and there is a place for everything and everything in its place.
That's right.
You know, come on. But sometimes we think that there has to be such big, huge deliverance take place, when in actuality, the Word of God, if Scripture and the Holy Spirit were allowed to do their perfect work, then there would be strongholds that you would begin to naturally see, and spiritual strongholds that maybe have been in your life or your family's life, or you've always done this way, you've always had your relationship with the Lord this certain way because that's just what you were taught. And so, in the natural, it's what your family did. And sometimes, you know, for the Word of God to actually, Scripture is breathing life into us. It's there for correction. It's there for reproving us. Well, if we allow it to reprove us and correct us, then those things come out and we see freedom, and we allow the Word of God to come in and pour in the oil and the wine and to heal us. And so, you know, sometimes there's people that they start the deliverance process, quote unquote, and then they don't have Scripture, or they don't take the time in Scripture to put back what has been withdrawn, and there's an empty void, and then the enemy comes back and he will hammer you in that area. Sometimes, well, Scripture says, can come back seven times, you know, fold. And so you don't want coming back seven times, that you don't want that multiplication of coming back. You want freedom, and you want it to be lasting freedom.
Amen. You know, I was just looking up a scripture here. It talks about, and it's along these lines, and it's in Hebrews chapter 12, and it's verse, well, I'll just you know, verses 3 through 5. I'll grab context. Yeah. Dan talked to us a little bit about context, you know. And so in Hebrews 12, verses 3, but we're going to land in verse 5, it says, "For consider him," referring to Jesus, "who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And have you forgotten," this is verse 5, "have you forgotten the exhortation," now key off that word, "the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, saying, 'My son, do not despise the chastening,'" that would be the correction, the reproof, mm-hmm. "'do not despise mm-hmm. the chastening of the Lord,'" it comes through his word, "'nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him,'" that's that reproof, "'for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges, even punishes a son whom he receives.'" And so here, I just wanted to key off that word exhortation because, you know, correction, whether it comes through the scripture or through loving authority in our life, it's not intended to slam us down. Mm-hmm. It's intended to build us up. Remember what I quoted earlier, E.W. Kenyon? God's building mm-hmm. himself into us. And so when we allow the word to do even that portion that is the reproof or the correction or the instruction, it's still building us. It's still elevating us. It's literally an exhortation when we receive the love of the Lord mm-hmm. through the scriptures.
Because yeah. even that just made me think of one thing when you're building and you're building a foundation, one thing you want for sure is that it to be packed down, solid, that there's going to be no movement. Mm-hmm. If you just take just sand and just pour it into a container, dirt will pack down after it's had weight put on it and weight. Mm-hmm. And that correction is like the weight that's packing it down. It seems like, you know, it may in the moment seem like it's taking you down, but really what it's doing is solid. It's making you solid so that you can build up and you can do that without things potentially collapsing mm-hmm. and not having a strong foundation.
You always have such good examples. That is so good.
And even in all of that, one thing too, that in this, and that's the scripture that you read in verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation mm-hmm. which speaks to you as to sons.
Come on.
Now here's the other thing with that. Is there is a vast difference between conviction mm-hmm. and condemnation. And, you know, mm-hmm. even in all our lives, in the guy's life, you know, one of the things that we used to always really, when they were younger, as we were beginning to teach them the principles of the Word of God and love and the fruit of the Spirit and how to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and work in us, we always said, if it's condemnation, I mean, like it's coming at you. I mean, like, and it's accusatory. Mm-hmm. Okay. You, mm-hmm. you. Then that was a huge mm-hmm. thing. And it was a huge red flag. But if it's conviction, see, it's reproof and correction. There is a way of escape Amen. That is being yeah. given you.
There's room to turn around.
There's room mm-hmm. to turn around.
There's room to change. And mm-hmm. that's ultimately, you brought up the word repentance earlier. You know, that's ultimately what repentance is. It's change. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord's going for. And even as parents, when parents lovingly have to bring instruction or even correction, it's not just to slam the child. It's to exhort the child to their potential. It's mm-hmm. to bring them to their true identity in Christ, the kind of identity that Jesus shed his blood so that they would discover that identity and then walk in that identity. And so that's the beauty of receiving scripture. I love how you highlighted that through the scripture, God is fathering us. Mm-hmm. He's fathering our heart. And when we read the word like that, like a love letter, then we realize God, whether we're a son or a daughter, he's fathering us. Mm-hmm. And so the encouragement that comes, sometimes you just need a pat on the back, you know, yeah. sometimes you just don't feel noticed, you know, and so you just need that encouragement.
And he says, "You're the apple of my eye."
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are noticed. And so, you know, there's the encouragement we need, that pat on the back, you know, that we need. And then sometimes we need to have that reel in there, buddy, yeah. and or young lady, you know, whatever it would be. And so we need it all. It's all part of the loving fathering that we receive from God.
That's right. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy, right? That was before we wrap up here.
Passage here, Deuteronomy 17.
I believe it was 18 to the end of the chapter.
Yeah, it is. And I'll give a setup for what's happening, and I'll let Dan read it. But what's happening in Deuteronomy 17 is God was giving some instructions because Israel was going to ask for a king, and he knew it. And he said, you're going to want to have a king. All the nations around you have a king. I want to be your king, but you're going to want to have a king. And so he's kind of giving them what they want in this situation. But he does give them some boundaries to it. He said, mm-hmm. but when you choose a king, you're going to have to choose a brother. Mm-hmm. Don't bring in a foreigner to be your king. Choose one of your own from the family of Israel, the lineage of Israel. Have a brother, appoint a brother as a king over you. And then these instructions we're going to read in verse 18 is literally instructions given to the king when he then takes his place on the throne and he's going to rule. And so I want you to apply this to your life because in some way we all are leading. Mm-hmm. We're leading ourselves first. If you're a parent, mm-hmm. you're leading children. If you're married, you know, you're leading in a marriage. You're leading, you know, towards family. If you're in business or vocation, you know, you have some influence at work. You know, maybe if you get involved in different clubs and hobbies and parent-teacher organizations, you know, you get into leadership influential roles. Mm-hmm. So whatever your realm of influence is, take this scripture. Don't think, well, that's just talking to kings. No, he's talking to the king in you. He's talking to the leader in you and how important it is that we have a relationship with scripture, even as it pertains to us being in leadership. So once you read that verse 18.
With the book is a good, you know, technology. It's good. Always amazing, great translations, but.
Thank you, Dan.
That's right, the book.
The book.
So verse 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So you see all the benefits there and some of the results of having a relationship with the Bible. I think it's interesting, the first thing he says, he told the king to write a copy. I don't have my notebook right here in front of me, but I got two witnesses here. Yep. I've got a number of journals, you know, notebooks that
I'll the triple digits at this point
that I write in, you know, and when I'm having my time with the Lord and a scripture stands out, I write it. I write it out, and there's something about writing the scriptures. I've written whole chapters. I've written whole epistles. I've literally written them out, and there's something how you connect with the word when you're able to write it down. And so the instruction to the king was get an official copy from the Levites, and he was to write himself a copy. So he's going to be very intimately involved in that word because he wrote it, and then he was encouraged to read it. And so what were some of the benefits or the results of when he read it? What effect was that going to have on him? Do you remember some of those?
It was that, here we go.
When he reads it each day, what happens?
He will be able to fear the Lord. All the words of the law, he'll be able to do them.
Mm-hmm.
That his heart would not be lifted up above his brethren, that he would, you know,
stay humble,
and that he would not turn aside from the commandments to the right or to the left, but to the end that he may prolong his days. His days would be prolonged,
amen.
As well as the kingdom and his children.
And his children.
Wow. So his family.
Think of all those benefits.
And his whole nation.
Right. Well, and you know, even as we're talking about this, the scripture comes to mind, write the vision, make it plain.
Yeah.
I mean, this scripture and this account tells us, I mean, he was literally writing the vision.
Amen.
And he was making it plain, you know, because when we, that's every time we write something, you know, you were talking about scripture, journaling, you know, writing things, post-it notes, putting things on your refrigerator, putting things in your, on your mirror, putting things in your car. Those things, when you're writing the vision and you're making it plain, man, the Lord works with those words. And I think it is a, it is something that actually happens in your natural body when you write it down. It is like a cognitive learning way. It's like you're writing it, you're physically moving and writing, and you are physically looking at it, and your mind is recomprehending it, and it, it's a different level of understanding. And I think that, you know, you can make this, no matter the age of your children, you could go all the way down to a toddler, and you could take something very simple, and you could put scripture into, you know, color sheets. You could put scriptures into, remember those Etch-a-Sketch boards? We used to do that with Sam and Dan both had Etch-a-Sketch. And a lot of times we would do it, we would do pictures, or we would do, you know, the love of God, and we draw a heart. And I mean, from the time they were really, really
there's
young,
something they can do.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're homeschooled, you know, when a child is learning to write, instead of just doing just the random ABCs or random sentences, you could have them do scripture. And, you know, those types of things that, you know, starting early.
That's very right. Good. That's what we did.
That's good. Yeah. Sounds like the voice of experience. Yeah.
But you know, that's, it is important that, that we do take the time to do it. And that it's, we become creative, you know, the Lord will help us if we just simply say, you know, no matter what age group we're in, you know, okay, Lord, what, and maybe you've written and journaled of all your life. You're like Mark, and you're in your 50s, and you're like going, well, I do that. Well, maybe even say, Lord, is there a way, a fresh way I can do this? Is there a way that is going to give me, you know, just a freshness, a joy of this, and allow there to be, you know, a fresh revelation of it.
Yeah,
that's good. Well, our time
is starting to get away from us.
It's starting to get away from us again.
It always does.
You know, it's just a delight to be with you each time on our Family Mission Podcast. And, you know, this episode and the last one, if you missed the last one, go back and check it out. It's just, it's
on the context.
Give you some context. It's on some of the same things. Different discussion, though, different conversation. But it would be good just to have these two together, especially here at the beginning of the year, just to kind of establish that foundation and that habit, you know.
That's right.
You know, you were talking earlier about sometimes, you know, we just learn stuff and we pick up habits. But just like you have a bad habit you want to shake and break, you can develop good habits.
That's right.
Yeah. And a good habit will bless your life. You know, the habit of going to church, the habit of reading your word, the habit of praying, you know. Sometimes we use the word habit and it's only negative. It's only a negative thing that we're doing. But habits can be
healthy habits.
There's healthy habits too. Just like there's healthy peer pressure, you know, that will help influence you in a good way. Maybe you're in a weak moment, but somebody around you strong, and that encourages you, and that kind of helps you make the right choice, maybe in a moment of pressure or temptation. So healthy habits are out there. And so we've just kind of talked about some inspirational things, but also some very, hopefully, very practical things to kind of stir your thoughts and get you going, maybe on a fresh start with the Word this year.
That's right. Well,
do you want to win? You want to win with the blessing?
That's
do you
want
to end with the blessing?
I would love that, Dan.
All right, we're gonna win and we're gonna end.
You got a little cheat sheet right there. But,
that's right. You know. That's, read it off the wall.
That's right. Well, until next time, here at Family Mission, just know that you're blessed and the Lord bless you,
Lord keep you, Lord make His face to shine upon you, and lift up His countenance upon you, and give you peace.